pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney. They didn't have what it takes to be astronauts. They don't fit the foreign diplomat mold. Their computer science careers were cut short. And the banking world still blanches at the mere mention of their names. But when it comes to sports in central Nebraska, they know their stuff. And so without further ado, mostly because we're out of it, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation presents The Doug and Danny Show.
And good morning once again, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Doug and Danny Show, the only local sports talk show in the Tri-Cities. Glad to have you along with us on 1460 and 1550 and the World Wide Web, as always, at ESPNSuperstation.com, because I know how important it is to you when you're traveling on business to not miss the Doug and Danny Show.
Well, Doug, I got to be honest, I'm sore this morning. I went bowling last night. Bowled several games last night, played tennis last night. Wife came home with a Wii. I want you to know it's an interactive game, which is very, very exciting.
Really?
I did not know that's what that is? No, I feel like I do this morning. I about put the TV out. You got to put the wrist deal on, otherwise you will throw the little remote through the TV. But I caught myself doing that. Interesting game, and whoever came up with that. Very, very talented, very much smarter than a whole lot of people on the planet, but a great game. Had a lot of fun with that last night, although I won't be able to do it for about 8 days. Go see Dr. John Klingensmith, but nonetheless, you were at sub-district basketball last night, as I understand it. A lot of those teams that played last night to advance on, there's some basketball teams now that's probably glad the season's over. And, you know, you say that every year. I say that every year. It's been a long year for some of these teams. Glad to, we're getting in the meat of the, where the teams advance, that should be advancing, and we start to see the better basketball pick up as we head toward the state tournament.
1-888-455-ESPN. You can email us anytime, douganddaddy@espnsuperstation.com. So let me get this right, even though you tried to change subjects. You're sore and injured because of a video game.
That is correct.
The continued dumbing down of America, by the way, with the invention of the Wii, because God knows it's too tough to go outside and shoot a basket or to pick up a tennis racket or go to the bowling center of your choice and actually throw the ball down the lane.
That is correct. Tennis, I'm excellent at tennis. I got a great backhand. I'm working on cutting the ball more. But
this,
I think I could be very, very
guy,
good at this.
This is the guy that hates the ribbon for everyone theme. And that's all the Wii is. It makes you better than what you are in real life. Have you got the basketball game yet? Because that would be. I don't even know if there's basketball, but that would be kind of tough for you to be better.
No, but I can confirm I still suck at bowling. Whether I'm at the lanes or on the Wii, I'm not a good bowler. I still got spin on the ball. I don't know what's going on. Don't know what's going on there.
Coming up on the program today, UNK head women's basketball coach Carol Russell. The Lopers are 20-5 on the season, and they get ready for a very tough road stretch here as they will be heading to Metro State and Colorado Christian this weekend. We'll talk with Coach here in just a couple of moments. We're also going to catch up with Jim Angeli from the Nebraska School Activities Association. If you've got any questions for the NSAA, good time for an email, douganddaddy@espnsuperstation.com, douganddaddy@espnsuperstation.com. We'll be talking to him about, of course, the state championships coming up, wrestling, swimming, both boys and girls basketball. We'll talk about the football schedules that came out last week and maybe a little bit smoother, maybe a pat on the back. I don't know. We'll see if they had any problems with that. Also, they're doing something different with the basketball seating, especially in Class A that we've talked about, not necessarily around here. But they are doing it in Class A for the Eastern teams. I guess we should say the non-Western teams, the four teams.
The Metro teams.
The four teams that are the farthest west always stay in the same district.
I think Derek Zeffert and Carol Russell right now, I think we stepped out of the office for a minute. We'll have her shortly. Looking forward to that. 20-5 on the season. It seems like somebody else steps up for the Lopers night in, night out. Caitlin Petrie, the freshman, getting more and more playing time. I think feeling a lot more comfortable with this team. You see her in the box score, scoring more, getting more rebounds, contributing a lot more toward that end goal of basketball. Doug, speaking of basketball, and I'm sure you saw the highlights this morning of Georgetown-Villanova and then the end of the Tennessee and Rutgers women's game in an atrocity of just basically, you do not see that very often, thank the Lord, because what a terrible, terrible job last night. And the officials have an opportunity to go back and look at something on the clock in that in the women's game. That was an embarrassment to basketball. If you're going to call a foul, first of all, it was totally afterwards, after the horn had sounded, the game was over. But if you're going to call a foul, I think that foul has to be an intentional foul. The girl literally grabs her shoulders from behind and pulls her down backwards. Well, that's not just a foul. We shoot two free throws. That's an intentional foul. She was nowhere close to the ball. But after you screw it up and call something, then you call the wrong foul. There's no time left. Then you got some bozo call some foul 75 feet from the freaking basket to decide a game in which Villanova's about got to win to have any hope of getting into the tournament. Now, hopefully the committee will go back and look at that and say, we're throwing that one out because that should have been at least decided in overtime. But terrible, terrible officiating last night on two levels and at the end of the game.
Well, thank goodness. Thank goodness we don't have that type of officiating in the Rocky Mountain Athletic Conference or, you know, in the region because, you know, they're perfect. They're perfect. And, in fact, many times our next guest has said that, never seen a bad call in her career.
I bet she has. And we've got Carol Russell, the UNK women's basketball coach, right now on the line. Carol, thanks so much for the time, as always.
You're welcome. I don't know if perfect is the word I'd use.
You know, every once in a while a guy breathes heavy and the whistle sounds. I don't know what's happening chugging down the lane. But let's talk about your ball club, Carol. I don't know if it's quietly or not, but, boy, you guys keep chugging along, and all of a sudden you're 25 games in, and you've got 20 wins on the season. And this ball club now has two big games coming up this weekend that we'll talk about in a minute. But right now, your thoughts at where you're standing at 20-5.
Yeah, our kids are really working hard, and, you know, I don't think it's any surprise to anybody in our program because we knew we had a good group of gals that we knew were going to work hard every day and be ready for games and be ready for the season, and we've got great leadership in our seniors, so it's no surprise for us, but I guess, yeah, we're just kind of chugging along, like you said, just kind of getting it done, and I'm pretty happy about that. But, yeah, these last four games of the regular season are going to be tough ones for us, so we're just trying to take it one game at a time, and, you know, whatever happens for us happens, and, you know, our kids got great attitudes, and they really want to work hard, and I'm really lucky to have this group of girls.
Coach, I mentioned early in the program about Caitlin Petrie, and you look at the box score, she continues to improve in scoring and rebounding, and the numbers continue to get better. Was there a time this season where you thought, you know, the freshman's not a freshman anymore and is really starting to play like she's a real teammate and an asset to this team?
Well, she came in as the only freshman, and so you forget that she is a freshman, and so we pretty much haven't treated her as a freshman the entire year, and good or bad, I don't know, she's kind of had to sink or swim, and she's chosen to swim, and she's kept right up with everybody. She's been challenging every day in practice, and, you know, we knew she's going to be a good player, and we knew we'd get some minutes out of her, but, yeah, she's really doing a great job. Then the last, I think, couple games here, the past 2 weeks, has really come along for us as a scoring threat, and that's what we need from her because we've known all along she can do that. It's just adjusting to this level and being able to do it in the games.
Welcome back to the Doug and Daddy Show. Carol Russell is chatting with us as they get ready for two big-time ball games coming up this week. Some of the kids have been getting the Player of the Week awards and all those kind of things, and you don't get those by not having great games, but you're also going to have the return of Ashley Snyder to the lineup. She's been out for nearly a month here for you.
Yeah, she played last Friday. We played at Colorado Mines, gave us about 18 minutes. Ashley's biggest challenge right now is just her conditioning. You know, anytime you're out 3 weeks and you don't get to practice the way everybody else is, you do lose some of your conditioning. So, you know, to be able to get the 18 minutes we got from her last Friday, I was pretty happy with that. I think she scored about 6 points and really didn't hurt us with her conditioning-wise. I mean, it's good that we had Mines. They don't really play up and down basketball. They kind of slow the game down. So it was a good game for her to come back with.
Carol, obviously positioning yourself for that regional is pretty much paramount now. It's hard to keep your eyes off of that. It's nice to say the one game at a time, but this weekend going on the road presents quite a challenge both nights.
Yeah, it does. I mean, the thing about the regional is, you know, they've got a formula that they follow, and if you lose to teams that are below 500 at home, it kills you. If you lose to teams above 500 on the road, it doesn't hurt as bad, and that's the thing, you know, that you can't worry about. You just got to try and take care of business because, you know, that's all we can do. We kind of can't look ahead, so we're trying to just keep our kids focused on one game at a time. But, you know, being in the seventh spot is where we want to be heading into the conference tournament. If you're in the eighth spot and there's any upsets in the conference tournaments in the Northern Sun Conference or the North Central Conference, that eighth team is going to get slid out of there and not going to be able to go to the NCAA tournament. And that's our biggest concern, is that we don't want to be the eighth seed going into our conference tournament.
20-5 and battling for a spot to play in the postseason, it just doesn't seem right. And, of course, everybody knows how tough this region happens to be. The Lopers were seventh last week, which was up a spot. They should be in the number six hole at least this week because Minnesota State lost over the weekend. And so maybe the Lopers move up another spot. You just played Metro a couple of weeks ago. Tell us a little bit about their team.
Yeah, you know, they lost last week into Regis, a team that they shouldn't have lost to. So, you know, we know they're going to be ready. You know, they're not probably happy with that. But that gave us a little bit of a cushion as far as the East Division goes. We've got a two-game lead for first place. So, you know, when you look at that, that gives us a little breathing room. But obviously for regional rankings and stuff, you want them to take care of business. It can only help us to beat Metro at Metro. So we've just got to be ready. They're a very solid basketball team. You know, we really struggled with them when we played them here at home, and I think they went up by six a couple of times in the game in the second half, and we were able to come back and hold on at the end. And so that's kind of what we need. We didn't play a great first half. We didn't feel like Amy Mathis and Jade Meads really took over in the second half for us, and so they really stepped up, and that's what you need. That's what your good players are supposed to do. So we're hoping that our good players show up on Friday, come ready to play for 40 minutes, because that's what we're going to need.
Carol, is there pretty much a general consensus out there from top to bottom in the RMAC Conference in women's basketball? This has been one of the toughest years you've ever seen.
It has. You know, the West Division has been tougher than it's ever been. Used to be in the past that, you know, you'd get, you know, seven easy games and you played the West Division. That is not the case. Fort Lewis College is leading the West Division, and I think they're number nine in the nation for the top 25 polls last week. They are a solid basketball team, you know, and that's something that you have to contend with. Mesa State's tough. Pueblo's tough over there. You know, it's just really tough, and that's what made me start out the conference so tough, is you had to really worry about the West Division, and we've never really had to do that in the past. And then you come over to the East Division, you've got to see teams like Metro twice, Regis twice. Colorado Christian is a much improved team. I mean, they're 13-13 and upsetting some teams this year. So they're a concern for us because we got them second night on Saturday night this week, that we've got it ready to go at their place. Last year we upset Metro at their place. They went and played at Christian and they beat us. So you just got to be ready every single night, and that's what makes this conference so tough. That plus the travel. You know, we've got our closest conference game is 5 hours. And, you know, if you look at everybody else in the East Division, where their closest games, you know, they just travel 30 minutes across town and play teams. Shadron and UNK are their longest trips in the East Division. They only got to do that once. So that's what makes it tough for us as well.
Carol, just kind of before we let you get out of here, stepping outside of just your team, you're one of the voters for the Division II Women's Basketball Top 25 poll. Fort Lewis is up to ninth, and maybe you've got a little more knowledge than you would some other seasons about some of these teams that are trying to make their way to Kearney for the Elite Eight. What's it been like voting in the poll, and has it kind of opened your eyes to some of the other teams out there in the nation?
It has. I mean, you notice the scores, you keep track of that, and, you know, every week we vote, and you pay attention to that, and teams that are beating teams, and how much they're winning by, and records of teams, and what the big games are coming up this week. I mean, and that's, I guess that helps for regional thinking when you're looking ahead for your team. But yeah, this year, this is the toughest regional that we've ever been involved with, because some of the teams in North Central, like Minnesota State Mankato, have gotten better than they've ever been in the past. You have North Dakota and South Dakota, their last year in Division II, very, very solid teams, you know, and that's fun to watch. And it's also fun to watch, you know, they have to play each other and who's going to come out on top for that. I think, you know, it's kind of fun to be a part of the top 25, but, you know, to me, and I think to all the other coaches in Division II, top 25 doesn't really mean as much as regional rankings. Those mean so much more for your teams. And so I think it's kind of one of those things where it's like, yeah, it'd be nice to be in the top 25, but at the same time, doesn't really mean anything when it really comes down to it. It's all about the regional rankings.
Coach, as you look ahead a little bit, who do you see yourself playing in the national title game then as a voter? I mean, do you look at a couple teams or not really that far ahead?
Not that far ahead, no. not at all. You know, we're trying to take it one game at a time. That's what we're looking at. No, you know, it'd be really nice to make it to our theme this year is bring it home. We're one game away last year from getting to the Elite Eight tournament, and I think this year it might be a little tougher for the fact that people aren't just going to look past us and think, oh, yeah, there's that 7th seed UNK. I think they're going to take us for real this year and not look past us and prepare and be ready for us. So that's going to make it a little tougher, too, but yeah, that'd be great. Our kids would just love to come home and play in the Elite Eight tournament in front of a home crowd. That'd be one of the best experiences that these kids could ever have.
Well, Carol, keep up the good work with the kids, and hopefully maybe a couple of wins for your crew this weekend on the road. Enjoy the travel.
Hey, thanks. I appreciate it.
Take care. Carol Russell, head women's basketball coach at the University of Nebraska at Kearney. The new Division II poll will come out today. And Delta State of Mississippi is the number one team in the country. They have all but one first-place vote. Seattle Pacific out of Washington is number two. North Dakota is number three. South Dakota is number four. And Concordia University out of St. Paul, Minnesota is number five.
Doug, you look at this region, and UNK at 20-5, sitting seventh. There's other regions out there that a team sitting at, you know, maybe a 14-9 would be in the fifth or sixth spot. I mean, and that's what the problem with this Division II regional deal is. You get some other regions that have five or six teams that are, well, they're not good. They're not upper echelon teams.
The Northeast.
And they're in there. And, they have an opportunity to advance on. And here you sit where the plethora of talent is in this division, and you're kind of penalized for your location in the nation.
It's still fun to just look at top 25s, whether it's NAIA or Division II. Here are some of the schools that are ranked in the women's top 25 as of last week. We told you who the top five was. Holy Family out of Pennsylvania. Then you also have California State Chico. You know, we love them. Also Stonehill College. They're in Massachusetts, Daddy. Francis Marion. That's in South Carolina. Fairmont State.
No idea.
West Virginia. Franklin Pierce University.
I would say somewhere in the southeast.
That's New Hampshire.
Oh.
So there
Old
you go.
Old Franklin, he was a hell of a guy.
There you go. And the Division II women's basketball poll is the subject of today's Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. 1-888-455 ESPN. If you have not won Troutman's Tuesday Trivia in the last 2 months, you are eligible for a $25 gift card from Troutman's on Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. Steaks, seafood, whatever you want, snack sticks. If you just want a meat and cheese tray, they'll get that set up for you as well. Here is this week's Troutman's Trivia question. The University of Nebraska at Kearney women have 20 wins on the season. They own a win over one of the top eight teams in the country. Who is that team? 1-888-455-ESPN. Which top eight team in the country do the UNK women own a victory over? We will be back right after this on the Doug and Danny Show.
You're listening to the Doug and Danny Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Two gentlemen who are known for their razor-sharp wit, insightful commentaries, probing interview techniques, and charm. These broadcasting mega men will be back right after this. All right, you two. I said what you wanted. Now, where's my money? The goal at Dorn Post and Associates of Lexington is to provide their customers top-rated customer service in insurance and real estate. In addition to property and casualty insurance, Dorn Post and Associates is dedicated to providing top-notch agricultural insurance, including crop insurance. They are experienced professionals who will work hard to make sure your needs are met, both with insurance and real estate. Just a reminder that sales closings for crop insurance is March 15th. Doran Post and Associates, Lexington.
The printed material you present to a client is the face of your business. It's the face of your image and the very face of the way you communicate to the world. Lips Printing Service would like you to meet the face of their business, their sales team. The sales staff at Lips will come to your place of business, providing you personal service to answer your questions and to get the job done right. Lips Printing Service is one of only a few printers where the sales team comes to you on time, done right, one customer at a time. Lips Printing Service of Kearney.
Good luck, Kearney Catholic Lady Stars. Everyone from S.A. Foster Lumber will be cheering for you at the sub-district basketball games. So make the jump shot, shoot for the rim, and win that victory. You deserve those points. From S.A. Foster Lumber in Kearney, proudly supporting our fine area athletes and scholars. It's Valentine's Day, and Red Lobster Restaurant would like to wish our American fighting soldiers a happy Valentine's Day. No matter where you are, you have our thanks for everything that you are doing to keep us safe and secure. From Red Lobster Restaurant, 121 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Come see what's fresh today. Black Dog Diner and Saloon wants to wish the Harvard Cardinal girls basketball team good luck in their sub-district playoffs. Sink those baskets and go for the win. Black Dog Diner and Saloon in Harvard, offering a special on Tuesdays of two burgers, two fries, and two drinks. And remember, Wednesday night is pizza night. The employees and fans at Tubbs Pub are cheering for the extremely talented SEM Lady Phillies basketball team, and they want to wish them good luck at the sub-district games. For home-cooked daily lunch specials, great steaks and seafood, and prime rib on Fridays and Saturdays, remember, Tubbs Pub in Sumner.
The Winter Sports postseason continues on our network of stations. Tuesday night on ESPN Radio, we bring you Kearney Catholic girls basketball as they take on Gothenburg in the C-111 semifinals, tip-off at 7:45. On Power 99, the C-18 semifinals from Grand Island at 6. Minden will be taking on Wood River, and at 7:45, St. Paul takes on St. Cecilia. You can also hear the St. Cecilia game on 1230 KHAS. It's all right here.
Hi, I'm J.W. Hart, the Ironman of the Professional Bull Riders. You're listening to the ESPN Radio Superstation, 1460 and 1550 AM.
We'll see a mix of clouds and some sunshine develop across the area as we head through the day today. Also, could even see a few flurries in some areas early. Highs around 33 with winds out of the west to 5 to 15. Tonight, we'll see partly to mostly cloudy skies, low at 16, up to 44 Wednesday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 12.
Welcome back to the Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. I want to thank Carol Russell for joining us. If you missed any part of that or any of the interviews that we bring to you on the Doug and Daddy Show, we have them archived for a long, long time at ESPNSuperstation.com. You can listen to them on the podcast, brought to you by Cunningham's Journal and The Loft. Cunningham's Journal, downtown Kearney, the place to be. It's Tuesday. You know what that means.
Big ass beers.
That's right, Cunningham's Journal Loft. You catch a Doug and Daddy show anytime in case you missed it. ESPNSuperstation.com on the Doug and Daddy podcast. Well, Daddy, before we delve back into the atrocities that were last night in college basketball, do you know what Thursday is? Thanks for looking at the calendar. Boy, are you in deep doo-doo already. You don't know what Thursday is.
Oh, yeah, it's my favorite day of the year.
Deep doo-doo.
Favorite day, Valentine's Day. For me and my lover.
You got things bought yet?
Yes, duh. Doesn't everybody at this time?
Wow. You are sad. did she get you the Wii for Valentine's Day?
No. No.
Well, today and maybe tomorrow as well, I want to dedicate, since I won't be here on Valentine's Day, but I will be joining you from the Quest Center.
Can we hold hands?
No, I just, you know, I didn't have time to run out and get a card. Because I'm preparing for this week, you know, and the show and things that you do not. But I do have some poems here for you. And here is my first Valentine's Day poem to Daddy. Kind, intelligent, loving, and hot. Daddy, this describes everything you are not. And that is our first Valentine poem from Doug to Daddy.
Oh, that's a dandy, and 1-888. It's warming coming from you, Douglas.
1-888. You didn't wear your Depends today, did you? 1-888-455-ESPN. You can email us anytime. DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com. DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com. Coming up just around the corner, we're going to catch up with Jim Angeli of the Nebraska School Activities Association. Daddy, you just touched on it a little bit. I agree. I did not obviously get to see it, so I only saw the highlights, and that's all you need to see. Georgetown, Villanova. Okay, the official made a mistake blowing his whistle. Okay, he did. And it wasn't even a foul. For the things that they let go, that was sad. That was sad, sad, sad. But the Rutgers-Tennessee women's game was even worse. And Tennessee, the University of Tennessee, should forfeit the game. I mean, that's the only way that anyone at any time will ever be taken seriously about mistakes. Where is your honor? Where is your sportsmanship? Where is your pride that is continually preached at every level from the first time that your young son or daughter competes in any activity all the way to the pro level, well, at least the collegiate level? Sportsmanship is preached, and you are to honor that, and you are to be a teammate. The time had expired in the game last night. The clock stopped with .2 for 2 seconds. And then it ran out. The game was clearly over. There is no mistaking that the game was over. And it was not tied. Rutgers was ahead. The game was over. Whatever occurred after the game was over does not matter. And it will never happen, Daddy, but sometime, some school, and it will, you know what, I will say, it will happen. But it will be a school at the Division III level. It will be a team that has nothing at stake on the national line, and it will get them publicity for that school when they step up and say, you know what? What happened was wrong tonight. The clock did expire. We were behind. The game was over. It is not fair for us to accept this victory. And that's exactly the case for Tennessee last night.
Well, and in the Tennessee-Rutgers game, they had an opportunity to make it right after the whistle blew and there were 0.2 seconds left. They had a chance to go look at the tape. They had a chance to right the wrong that was the clock operator error and say, Pat, just a bad deal. You ran out of time. We did have a foul. It was after the buzzer. We're going to go on. You lose by a point. Everybody goes on. They would have accepted it. Nothing else has been said. But within 8 minutes on ESPN and ESPN2 last night, within 8 minutes, both of these games, and granted the game was at Georgetown, I hate to know what would have happened if that deal was at Villanova.
Well, they didn't ever blow the whistle, obviously. That's the way that works. But, you know, at least as much as the Georgetown-Villanova thing was a bad deal, you know, that was within the realm of the game. But the Tennessee-Rutgers, that was a totally different situation. 1-888-455-ESPN. You can email us your opinion on that or anything else that you want to chat about. DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug, spell out the word and if you work at the NSAA. DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com. Is he still on the line? Jim Angeli.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
I'm just looking for a parking pass, Jim. That's it, buddy. I've been working the lines. I've been working.
There's quite a few people looking for parking passes.
I just hope we have the fans there this year. We're going to talk with Jim about what's going on at the NSAA, not just state wrestling coming up this weekend, but it's, you know what, I can say it because back here I've had a term for probably the last 15 years that the week that conference basketball starts, which was last Monday, until the boys' state basketball tournament is over, I call hell month. And I have to believe that you guys are also right underway with Hell Month beginning at the NSAA. It's a good thing because there's a lot of exciting activities going on, but very bustling. And, Jim, we thanks for the time.
Hey, no problem. You know, it is. It's a busy time of year, and tomorrow I just look it up here at our calendar, and I see that we're going to seed Class B girls basketball tomorrow for districts. We're going to seed Class A boys and then sub-districts for C1, C2, D1, and D2 tomorrow. And then we got a little thing. We got a board meeting tomorrow, and then a little thing called state wrestling that we got to get up to Omaha for.
Yeah, that board meeting's tomorrow. You got some things to talk about in that, don't we?
Oh, it's funny how everything kind of happens all at once. But like you said, it's an exciting time of year. And it's state wrestling is a great way to kick off that winter championship season.
Well, Jim, you mentioned state wrestling, and obviously the third year, I believe, in the Quest Center. Mm-hmm. Your overall thoughts, the right decision, or is it people are one way, people are against it, people are for it?
Well, you got to look at it from two different perspectives, I think. From a coach and a participant perspective, the room that we have on the floor for all the mats at the Quest Center is definitely a positive for us. I know that some of the folks that enjoyed coming and watching wrestling at the Devaney Sports Center, you know, that's a much more, you know, that facility is built for basketball. So you're much closer to the mats than you would be at the Quest Center, especially if you're in the upper deck at the Quest Center. And so, you know, there's some folks that still have it stuck in their craw that they like it better at the Devaney Center just because of that fact that they're a little bit closer. But I'll tell you what, the folks at the Quest Center are outstanding people, and they really do a great job to welcome us, and they work pretty hard for us for 3 days to help us put on a great championship. And I think for the coaches and the competitors, there's no doubt they enjoy having it at the Quest Center.
Jim Angeli from the Nebraska School Activities Association joins us. Jim, are there any noticeable changes this year for the state wrestling meet?
No, actually, it's going to pretty much be just keep going the way we've done it the last 2 years. I think we've got it figured out, and hopefully most of the bumps in the road and some of the lessons that we've learned kind of the hard way over 2 years, we're able to head those off for this year. And so, you know, there's some things that behind the scenes that maybe people don't realize, like trying to make sure that the weigh-in area is a little bit better, a little bit warmer for our student athletes when they come in. You know, we've done a better job of trying to get some mats down in a bigger space so that the kids have ample room to warm up before their matches. And just some of those little things that you try to tweak every year in order to make it a little bit better for the competitors and the coaches. That's something that we're always trying to strive for, is to make sure that the athletes who are competing have a great experience.
Jim, I think that's what it's about, the athletes and the coaches and the people competing down there. So when will the state basketball tournament move out of Pershing Auditorium altogether?
Well, the hard part is, you know, Pershing, those folks, despite the fact that their facility may not be the greatest, that's a hard-working group of people. And I think, you know, the city of Lincoln is probably going to have to make a decision sometime what exactly it wants to do with that facility. The plans and the wheels are in motion, I think, for them to build a new downtown arena. But, you know, it's not going to be one of those things that's going to happen overnight. You know, that's the hard part is, you know, Mayor Beitler here in Lincoln has probably got some tough decisions to make of how he's going to organize that, support that, and then the big question is how to pay for it.
It's always the bottom line. And speaking of cash, let's move to my next question for Jim Angeli from the Nebraska School Activities Association. I'm not sure I pinned you or anybody down on this one from the board yet. I know I've talked off the show with some of the guys, but the institution or the initiation of the third and fourth place games at the state basketball tournament. What's the feedback so far before it's even taken place, and just kind of the direction, or do we have to wait until this is all said and done next month before we see where that goes?
Well, I think the biggest thing with the fact that we are initiating third and fourth place games for the state basketball championships this year is, you know, we have gotten you know, quite a bit of input from folks that think it is a pretty darn good idea. There are a lot of students sometimes, you know, you lose in the semifinals, you know, you would like to go out a winner. And there will be an opportunity this year for a few more teams to end their season on a winning note. Yeah, they'll be disappointed that they got beat in the semifinals on Friday night, but, you know, they can come back on Saturday and have a positive feeling and get another W. I think if you're a coach and you're starting, you know, four juniors and maybe one senior, hey, I would like to play another game because this is going to give my athletes another experience in a state tournament environment that could be beneficial for them for, you know, the following year. If I got a team that's probably loaded with seniors and you lose on Friday night and the dream was to win the state title, you know, I may not be so enthused about wanting to play in a third-place game. But we'll see how it goes. And I think that every single state that surrounds us, South Dakota, Iowa, Missouri, Kansas, Colorado, and Wyoming, they play a third-place game, and some of those states even play all the way out to an eighth place. I think that's the way they do that in South Dakota and Wyoming. And so I guess we're kind of keeping up with the Joneses, if you want to look at it another way.
Well, I was the only one that wanted to leave with that warm, fuzzy feeling in the class, me and my teammates. And, I think that was a big deal. I wanted to take home one trophy, send everybody else home a loser, and that was a goal. And I think that's a goal. Most teams, when you get to that final. I want to know, people playing in the third and fourth place games, Jim, will the points count towards records?
Oh, yes.
Class C2, single state tournament scoring record holder out of Bertrand High School in 92, the Big Daddy, Tony Davis. He's concerned now that some team might not want to be there and some kid goes out for 40 and breaks his record. Will we put an asterisk by that?
Well, I guess what we can do is maybe have a shoot-off. We'll bring Daddy down, and we'll have that kid go one-on-one.
that
kid, see how they do afterwards.
That kid wouldn't get to the floor, I'll tell you that, right? No, I'm just kidding. That's just an interesting question, Jim.
Jim, let's move on to a couple other things before we let you get out of here. The football schedules came out last week, and because we needle and prod you so much, and I definitely was on the other side of this 2 years ago when they came out, from my side, and I think from the general, from what I'm hearing out in this neck of the woods, things went a lot smoother, and there were hardly any complaints at all about the way the football scheduling came out this time. Did you guys feel the same way?
Yeah, we've had very few complaints. I think it's a situation where the more you do it, the better and better you get at it. And each year or every 2 years when we go through that cycle, we keep our notes from the previous time, and we try to make sure that, for example, like those districts that have an odd number of games in them and there's a bye week placed in that district game, we try to match up the district right next to it with that same number so that those bye weeks can match up and try to make the scheduling process a little bit easier. And then, great care has to go into examining the priority sheets. And we try to make an effort to make sure that, if somebody lists a school number one on its preference sheet, that we try to match that school up. And, Tom Millsap, Larry Mulring, and Jennifer Schwartz did most of the pairings for that football scheduling process, and they worked long and hard and did an outstanding job of trying to meet all the demands that that the schools kind of place on us.
Well, Jim, I think it's tough to fathom even the work that goes into that for all the schools in the state of Nebraska. You talk about them all coming out on one day, but this is a process that must start in, what, 3-4 months ago?
Well, kind of, sort of. That's kind of the way it works, is we want to try to get those numbers from the State Department of Education. We're supposed to try to get those in late November, early December, and then once we get those classification numbers, that's the biggest key, is because then we've got to figure out, who's going to be in Class A, B, C1, C2, D1, D2, and exactly where, where some of those schools that are on that bubble between one class and the other are going to fall. Then the other thing is, too, is we've got to get that determination of schools that are 11-man and maybe they're considering going to 8-man, or vice versa, the 8-man schools that are considering coming up into 11-man. And so we get those, once we get those declaration forms in terms of whether they're going to play 11-man, 8-man, or 6-man football, then we go ahead and once we get the numbers from the State Department of Education, we start classifying everybody. And then once we get those classifications set, then we start putting all those schools onto a map within our office here, and we just kind of look at the natural pockets of, well, this would be a good district, these schools are close together, and we kind of draw the circle around it, this is where this district will be. And then so once we get everybody placed in districts, then the process really starts of where we get the school input from, of who do you really want to play in your non-district games. And then once we get that list from the schools, then we try to put everything together, match up those schools as best we can, and then try to make sure that the home and away's balance out. We've also got a lot of schools out there that, will share a facility and play in the same stadium. So we try to make sure that, they're not home always on the exact same weekend, so that one school is always playing on a Thursday night or something like that, because everybody likes to be able to play their home games on Friday nights and that. And so, you know, there's a lot of variables that go into it.
Jim Angeli, Nebraska School Activities Association. Jim, let's see if I've got two more things I want to ask you.
Sure.
You can give me a yes or no on this first one. Is the NSAA, because there are more teams going into six-man football, is there any thought about sanctioning that again, or is that still a ways off?
You know, here's the deal. You start to look at that six-man and how schools, especially in our rural areas, are continuing to drop in enrollment. And six-man football is going to be a very, very good option for that. The folks at the six-man football ranks signed a three-year agreement with the city of Kearney for sponsoring that six-man championship. And those folks have asked us not to go ahead and sanction a championship until after this next two-year cycle, and so that they can continue that relationship with the University of Kearney in terms of being able to host that championship game. And, you know, if we get to a situation where in 2 years from now, we're looking at, you know, 16, 17, 20 teams that are playing six-man football, I think our board would seriously look at adding that as another championship.
And finally, Jim, I know a lot of things are going to be talked about tomorrow at that NSAA Board of Control meeting. There's going to be maybe is it the final decision on the state football championships when Nebraska's at home and some awarding of state tournaments like volleyball tomorrow?
Yes, the state volleyball tournament is probably the biggest thing. And I think we've pretty much got everything figured out for the state football finals in those years. It looks like when Nebraska does have a home game those weekends, we'll probably be moving to the following Monday and Tuesday, right there at the beginning of the Thanksgiving week, and trying to play three games over a two-day period. It seems like we've got a pretty good working relationship with the folks down at the University of Nebraska, especially Butch Hug, their director of facilities, and that kind of looks like the route to go. But the we're going to have an interesting meeting tomorrow with the city of Lincoln, the city of Grand Island, and the city of Kearney all coming in to bid for the state volleyball tournament starting next year.
Who's getting it?
I have no idea.
Well,
you know, those are three really good, strong communities, and you know, I know that no matter where it ends up, any of those three cities will do a fantastic job of hosting it and taking care of it. It's, you know, the board will look at what facilities will be used and try to compare and contrast those. You know, and bottom line, too, sometimes they'll look at the dollars. Is it going to be farther to travel? Will the expenses increase moving from one city to another in terms of reimbursements to the schools, mileage that we pay to our schools to come to the state championships? So they have a lot to contemplate tomorrow, that's for sure.
You're the best, Jim.
Thanks, Daddy.
We'll see you in Omaha, Jim. Thanks so much for the time on this busy day down there in Lincoln, and we'll see you on Thursday.
All right, we'll see you Thursday, guys.
Take care. Jim Angeli from the Nebraska School Activities Association with a lot to chat about there. Daddy, thoughts? There's going to be a lot coming down tomorrow.
There is a lot coming down tomorrow, and a lot of people interested in that volleyball decision. I'd like to see it get out of Lincoln, just something different, maybe just give somebody else an opportunity to see what another town or community could do with it. I don't think you'd call a city. Is Grand Island a week? Are we a city here? I don't know. Another community to host that and to step up and try and make it the best place to play a championship for the competitors and the coaches.
The deal is that all three of those communities have flaws as far as the actual playing of the volleyball and whatever else there is. And that's what makes it tough, because each community can target the other community saying, well, you know, why are we doing this? Why are we doing that? Why are we doing this? But we'll see how it comes down. I'll reserve my opinions for next week or maybe even Thursday for a couple of minutes on where things are hosted. It'll be interesting.
I still shake my head on the third and fourth place games. I can't believe anybody would want to play them.
Yeah, that's,
I still
we'll get through it the first year and see what happens. The problem is there seems to be very little change. I mean, once something's instituted, that's the way it stays. So I guess we'll see what happens. We need to take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. And by the way, I don't think we ever did say who our winner was on Troutman's Tuesday Trivia, saying the UNK women had beaten one of the top eight teams in the country, that being the University of Alaska Anchorage, when they made that trip out to Hawaii in December. Who was our winner there, Darren?
Jason N. Carney's got himself a $25 gift certificate to Troutman's.
All right, thanks, and congratulations to Jason. We will be back with more right after this.
All right, this has gone far enough.
This doesn't make any sense.
Well, dude, this is really cool stuff.
More coolness in a moment with Doug and Danny at Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Would you like to be able to go back to working out or playing with your kids? Getting to family events with no pain in the same weekend? You can now with Salon Pause Medicated Patches. Their medicated patches provide fast and sustained relief right where you need it most. No more stiff neck at dinner. No more aching back in the morning. Lasting relief. You can go out there and be more active with Salon Pause. You can find Salon Pause patches at major drugstores, membership warehouses, and local pharmacies.
How would you describe Pizza Hut's new crunchy cheesy crust pizza?
Cheese, 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 cheese.
Experience the indescribable crunch of the new crunchy cheesy crust pizza from Pizza Hut. Just $11.99 for a large one topping. Go to DescribeTheCrunch.com for a chance to win the ultimate sports lovers package. Get more, not less. Pizza Hut. Order online at PizzaHut.com.
Limited time offer, additional charge for extra cheese where applicable. Prices, participation, delivery charges, and areas may vary. No purchase necessary. Legal residents of the 50 United States plus D.C. 18 and over. Void where prohibited. Promotion ends 3-8-08. Visit DescribeTheCrunch.com for rules and complete details. Sponsor Pizza Hut, Inc.
Why pay too much for your next pre-owned car or truck? Since 1981, Carney Auto Sales on East Highway 30 has earned a reputation for selling quality vehicles at affordable prices. Carney Auto has a great selection of extra clean cars, SUVs, and pickups. Need a rental car? Take advantage this month of Carney Auto's special low rate of $19.95. Tax refund time is fast approaching. At Carney Auto Sales, you can buy here, pay here, too. Stop in today or call for details at 236-7009. Open weekdays till 6 and Saturday till 4.
It's the Nebraska Lottery's 15th anniversary. Since 1993, all 93 Nebraska counties have benefited from projects funded by Nebraska Lottery proceeds. To celebrate, the 15th anniversary spectacular scratch ticket offers a chance to win $150,000 instantly and more than 25,000 other prizes. So happy anniversary, Nebraska. And you thought we forgot. Nebraska Lottery. Play is good. Go play. Must be 19. Please play responsibly.
Live Thoroughbred Racing starts Friday at Fawner Park. Post time 2 p.m., Saturday and Sunday 1:30 p.m. Free admission and parking. Saturday, warm up to a good cause at the annual Red Cross Chili Cook-Off with over 40 celebrity chefs serving their secret recipes. Live racing Friday through Sunday, Fawner Park, Grand Island.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Derek, our producer and engineer, most of the time, makes a great observation during the break that Daddy doesn't want his record broken state basketball tournament. We're just going to call you Big Daddy Mercury Davis.
Well, you know what? It's everybody gets a ribbon. Boy, we need more winners. People to feel good about themselves. Let's play a third and fourth. Hell, let's play a fifth and sixth place game.
And some of those other states that they mentioned, less schools than even Nebraska. So less games. That plays into it. I mean, Wyoming, South Dakota, they have less schools. And it's hard to believe, but they do. And kind of going on here, Jim sends us this email, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. If you missed it at the top of the program, Daddy says he's a little sore because the missus bought a brand new Wii video system, and they were bowling and playing tennis last night. This is addressed to me. Doug, before long, you'll be looking at a new, more fit daddy. That's right, the Wii is actually an exercise machine disguised in a toy. If you don't believe me, try a game of boxing against a hyper five-year-old boy. He'll kick your ass repeatedly, but you just keep playing until your arms are ready to fall off because you just can't get beat by a child. And don't forget the bowling. I can just see Daddy now holding the remote like a bowling ball and doing his bowling steps toward the TV and launching the ball towards those pins. In a couple of weeks, Daddy will have lost 25 pounds by simply bowling, boxing, golfing, and playing tennis in his living room. Sure, he'll be sore for a few weeks, the stiff elbow, the sore shoulder. What's that got to do with playing Wii? But that will all wear off. It will all wear off in time, just like when you get used to an exercise program. Maybe Daddy's new wife is already looking to improve her little hubby with the purchase of this exercise machine. I mean, toy. Delusional Husker sending that one in. Thanks, Jim. Appreciate that.
There's so much. I'm getting ready to get the dance machine or some dance deal so I can check
Guitar
that out.
Guitar Hero.
We hey, got that.
If you like doing things inside.
Actually, you know what Suzanne said last night? I don't like getting booed off the stage because it shuts down. The people boo you if you can't get through the song. That's what she said. That's, my feelings are getting hurt. My feelings are getting hurt.
Wow, I could go so many directions that would be totally wrong right now. Hey, if you like doing things inside, though, check out Prairie Hills. It costs tens of thousands of dollars, and it's ready to challenge as well as train and improve your real golf game. It's the new golf simulator at Prairie Hills Golf, voted the best state-of-the-art simulator last year. It measures ball tracking and swing speed, tracks the ball, not the screen, and you can come anytime to practice on the new simulator at Prairie Hills' new clubhouse, open every day at 8 and stays open until midnight. Play either 9 or 18 holes, and if you'd like, call for a tee time to make sure that it's open because the simulator is being used a lot. Come out, meet the new owners and operators, Curtis, Kurt, and Nick, and see the new clubhouse and feel the new attitude at Prairie Hills, just 10 miles north of Kearney on Highway 10. When we come back on the Doug and Daddy Show, it's another Valentine's poem from Doug to Daddy.
You have 937 messages, all of which are marked urgent.
Doug and Daddy will get right back to you.
Ooh, get the stinky dog away from me.
Healthy dogs don't stink. Healthy dogs eat Dynavite.
The omega-3 fatty acids, the enzymes that are cooked out of regular dog food.
859-428-1000. Yes,
Dynavite. Tons of energy, no more bad smells. DINOVITE.com.
Some guys might get a little stressed out about Valentine's Day. Well, not me, my friend. I just go to Walmart. They have more of the Valentine's Day candy I need to make sure I'm covered. And the prices are unbelievable. So when she opens up her presents, I know she'll be thinking, you are good. Thanks, Walmart. Appreciate it.
Walmart makes it easy to get more for Valentine's Day, like 14.8-ounce Butterfinger hearts for $2.96 and a 6.5-ounce Dove Velvet heart box for just $12.94. This Valentine's Day, save money, live better. Walmart.
Are we gonna do what they say can't be done? We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound just like no bandit run. Keep your foot hard on the pedal.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us. High school hoops tonight here on ESPN Radio. It's girls sub-district play. Kearney Catholic girls will be taking on Gothenburg at 7:45. That was a three-point game the first time around. That's a tough sub-district. Also on Power 99, C18 action from Grand Island. It will be Minden and Wood River. They played a very good ball game last week with Minden winning. Minden and Wood River at 6. St. Paul and Hastings St. Cecilia will play at 7:45. I'll tell you what, I saw a scrappy performance from Centura last night, who came in as the 6th seed in this at 6-12 and played 5 kids basically the whole night. And they gave St. Cecilia all they wanted until they flat out ran out of gas. St. Cecilia was able to run 9 kids in, and they're a good ball club. And we're able to just get a lot of points put up and used a 28-8 run to end the ball game and won it by 17. They were down 3 late in the third quarter and then just went crazy and started hitting everything they shot. So St. Cecilia hopes to keep that going tonight when they take on St. Paul. You can also hear the St. Cecilia game on 1230 KHAS. Unfortunately, there's some other teams out there that are not very good. There are some teams that completed an over last night, and that is too bad.
Do you want to mention them?
No. They know who they are. So, they don't need the salt thrown in the wounds. It's time now for another Valentine's poem from Doug to Daddy.
When do I get a response?
Who I don't really like right now, so... Here is the latest Valentine's poem from Doug to Daddy. I want to feel your sweet embrace, but please don't take that paper bag off your face. A Valentine's poem from Doug to Daddy.
Unbelievable. I would respond by saying, I heard that you were feeling ill.
Yeah, see, because that's the only one you got. It's sad. Well, it's old. I didn't do terrible.
Any, I didn't even do any research.
Good Lord. It's like, you know, hanging around you is like listening to Carlin's seven bad words. You know, how many times can you hear it? It's unbelievable. Oh, by the way, breaking news that I had to get to before this show is over. Grand Island Northwest senior Nate Cox has signed a collegiate scholarship. He's going to golf at Central Community College in Columbus. Very important because he led Northwest with a fifth place finish at last year's state meet and is my cousin.
Very nice. Congratulations.
So, Nate Cox, congratulations out of Grand Island going to Northwest, and hopefully we'll... They got a good team. Hopefully they'll have a great job, a great season this year when it warms up. But going to Central Community College, good job there. And Justine Detlef signed yesterday with Hastings to play women's basketball.
I want to thank Carol Russell, UNK women's basketball coach, along with Jim Angeli from the NSAA, joined us on the Doug and Daddy Show today. Both 20-5 of Coach Carol Russell and getting busy for the NSAA. We'll see you tomorrow, Doug and Daddy Show.
Tomorrow, Jim Bovey will join us here on the Doug and Daddy Show to talk Hastings College baseball. Tri-City Storm on the road tonight at Omaha. See you tomorrow.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.